This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites. It is Tuesday, the 17th of November. My name is Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me today,
Frida Liu.
On the show today,
surprise.
It's always the both of us. On the show today, we're going to be talking about work-life balance, or, you know, some of us like to call it work-life integration as well. How has your work-life balance changed over the last few months with remote working, with some areas now, or most areas now under CMCO and going back to working from home for some of you? How has work-life balance been affected, disrupted? Get in touch with us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. We have polls happening on both those platforms. At BFM Radio is our handle. Now, while remote working has a lot of benefits in terms of more flexibility and less commuting time, there is also a real danger that employees can slip into an unhealthy balance between working and home hours without the physical boundaries of the working environment. Also, on the show today, we're going to be talking about a really interesting story about how there's been a rise of a new job designation across Silicon Valley, the Director of Remote Work. So it's also related to our top story. And finally, we'll be ending the show with a story about Jeff Bezos's $10 billion climate change fund. Frida's got the details on that. But of course, work-life balance, work-life integration. Now, people in Kuala Lumpur have the longest working hours and spend the most time commuting to work compared to any other city dwellers in the world, giving KLites the third lowest work-life balance globally, a recent study says.
Right. So according to the Best Cities for Work-Life Balance 2020 study by US-based security specialist Kisi, Kuala Lumpur ranked 47th out of 50 major cities worldwide for qualities that make working and living easier. However, when it comes to coping with COVID-19, Kuala Lumpur did better. It was the 13th least impacted by the pandemic and had the fifth lowest projected unemployment. I guess now, you know, they don't travel as much.
So, you know, the results are based on an analysis of 19 factors grouped under three broader themes, which is work intensity, society and institutions, and urban livability that affects working life overall.
All right. So KL was not the lone Asian city to fare poorly. Also very low. Seoul ranked last, 50th, while Hong Kong ranked 45th. Bangkok ranked 43rd, and Singapore clinched the 41st place in the work-life balance index. So Tokyo is interestingly ranked 19. And yeah. Really? And then, last year, KL ranked 40th out of 40 cities in the same study.
Okay, so this year they had 50 cities, right? Now, this index is not designed to be a city livability index, nor is it intended to highlight the best cities to work in. Instead, it is an indicator of a city's ability to provide a healthy work-life balance for its residents while providing opportunities to relieve work-related stress, the company says. This is from Kisi, of course.
Right. So they chose the 50 cities for a survey based on your reputation for attracting professionals and families for their work opportunities and diverse lifestyle offerings. It then gathered and analysed publicly available data on the many factors that affect working life, one of which is work intensity factors, included amount of time a person dedicates to their job, total working hours, commuting and vacation days taken.
Now, KL fared poorly on work intensity factors, including hours work plus commuting time, which is like 52 hours a week compared to, say, in Amsterdam, where it was about 36 hours, and having the fourth highest percentage of the workforce considered overworked at 21%. We also notched the fourth fewest vacation days offered at 8 days, with many taking only 12 days off per year.
Right.
Imagine that.
Because we have a lot of public holidays. Anyway, okay, so we'll talk a little bit more about that part, transportation. City livability was evaluated based on affordability as well as citizens' overall happiness, safety, and access to wellness and leisure venues.
Yeah, so KL also received the lowest happiness, culture, and leisure score, which affected its city livability, including the lowest outdoor spaces score. The capital also scored low in the air quality scale. I think it was the fourth fourth lowest. And one can't help but wonder how it would score if water quality was measured. Right. Okay. This is a story for another day. As for affordability, city safety and stress, as well as in its wellness and fitness, KL was ranked average, but tilting more towards the bottom rung.
Right. You talked about the lowest outdoor spaces, right? Mm. If we talk about probably the highest indoor spaces is our shopping malls, right? So social factors included access to state-funded health and welfare programs, as well as institutional support for equality and social inclusivity.
Yeah, so social factors are other aspects that dragged KL down the rankings. You know, we scored lowest for social expenditure, healthcare, access to mental healthcare, and inclusivity and tolerance.
So this year's study also took into account how COVID-19 has changed and continues to affect work-life balance in several key areas. The restriction of movement, the severity of lockdown measures, the overall economic impact, and the projected percentage change in employment as a consequence. It drew on January to August data from the International Monetary Fund World Economic Outlook Report, as well as COVID-19 data, mobility trend reports, and statistical departments. So KL was the 37th most impacted by the pandemic, with the fifth lowest projected unemployment. Our capital city also has the lowest percentage of residents holding multiple jobs.
Yeah, I know. It must be noted that the study assessed the cities before the world's second wave and, of course, our own third wave of COVID-19 infections. A lot of employers may have imagined that mass remote working would lead to employees slacking off without the watchful eye of management not being in the confines of the physical office. But this big shift during the pandemic has actually proven opposite. Research is now showing that people are actually more likely to overwork themselves in order to prove their productivity and availability to the higher ups when not at their regular desk. So this is a phenomenon that they're calling electronic presenteeism.
Presenteeism. Okay. So while remote working has a lot of benefits in terms of more flexibility and less commute time, there's also a very real danger that employees slip into an unhealthy balance between working and home hours without the physical boundaries of the work environment, which is why we need to bring attention to the issue of overworking, right? It's something that, while always a threat to people's mental and physical well-being, seems more pressing than ever.
Yeah. So, you know, when we come back from the break, we'll be speaking to someone about developing leaders to be accountable and engaging both at work and at home. You know, we're hoping that that Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting will be able to shed some light on some of the questions that we have on this as well. But of course, on the show today, we are asking you about your work-life balance or your work-life integration. How has that changed over the last few months with CMCO back in place? Has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Has there been no change? What's work-life like for you right now? Work/life like for you right now? Get in touch with us. You can reach us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also participate in our poll happening on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. We'll be back with Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. But for now, here's KISS with Detroit Rock City on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Be free, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
We're back. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we're talking about work-life balance. How has your work-life balance or work-life integration balance changed over the last few months? 018-789-8899 is how you can reach us on WhatsApp. You can also participate on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. Let's take a look at the poll, Frida.
All right. So leading had gotten worse, 33.2%. Gotten better, 26.9%. No change, 14.3%. Work-life what? 25.6%.
Over on Instagram, just two options. Gotten better at 32% and gotten worse at 68%. Frida, what about you?
Okay, so just a comment here from 1199. Bad.
Oh, just bad. But what about you, Frida? What have you noticed recently?
Okay, I find that because it has been the... I can't remember which... at least we're able to go out, right? At least we're able to go out. So that makes a lot of difference, right? I find that I've gotten to a rhythm. We've been doing this since March. We've gotten to a rhythm. What makes a difference for me is being able to go out and walk and get some sun. Right, and that's important to me, right? And I would put that as a priority, and then work will revolve around that.
Yeah. And I know MCO was tough for you just because we couldn't leave our homes.
Yeah. So like my garage, so I stand out there to get some sun.
And do your little workouts. We've got on the line with us right now, Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. And Good Monday Consulting, they focus on developing leaders to be accountable and engaging both at work and at home. And we're hoping that Joseph might be able to shed some light on some of the questions that we have for him. Joseph, thank you for staying on the line. Are you at all surprised about the study that we were discussing before the break that KL came in at number 47? Out of 50 when it comes to work-life balance?
Well, I'm not surprised that KL came out at number 47. I think basically because of the Asian work ethics. I mean, if you take a look at the survey, Asian cities like Seoul, Hong Kong, Bangkok, Singapore, and also came in pretty low on the scale of things. I think in general, people in Asia, particularly in KL, our work ethics is such that it's difficult to let go of our work responsibilities. And to some people, work-life balance doesn't seem to be a definition at all, because work is life and life is work.
Right. So, Joseph, in your opinion, how has work-life balance changed in 2020?
For 2020, there are actually two main issues. For one group of workers, I don't think it's a matter of work-life balance. It's a matter of survival because there could be an industry that is hit hard due to the pandemic, like the travel and hospitality industry per se. Mm-hmm. So in those cases, talking about work-life balance is actually immaterial in that sense, because they are looking for work-life stability. They are looking at survival. So talking about work-life balance is really a non-relevant focus for this group. Where else, for some who are more fortunate to be in industry and work, where a change of location doesn't seem to impact their work, I think for this group, it's more of being flexible and making the adjustments. And if they have the opportunity to work from home, well, in a way, it may kind of put them in a position to be able to enjoy more touch points with family members. But then again, it also presupposes that the family relationships are stable in the first place. I mean, if those relationships are not good in the first place, putting more people at home doesn't improve work-life balance. In fact, it might tip into more opportunities for stress.
Opportunities for stress. Right. Joseph, even though the majority of people are working from home and commuting less, are we working more?
Well, with regards to the question, are we working more? I'm of the opinion that working from home digitally is a supplement. It is not the substance of work, it is the supplement of work. Meaning that working from home will work, presupposing that there is already an existing strong working relationship within the team members. After having said that, we are all social beings, and I believe that the strong social bonds is a prerequisite to creativity and innovation. And when we are not able to interact face-to-face, having social events and things that help us to bond together, I believe that in the long run, it will affect our ability to be creative and to be innovative as a team in person. So I find that while working from home, it's a kind of a novelty during this season. But in order for us to have sustained creativity and innovation, and on top of that, in order to improve team morale, we do need to get back to the regular person-to-person interaction soon, because the social life person interaction really provides the platform and is the bedrock for creativity and innovation to happen when we do interact with each other as social beings.
Right. Okay, Joseph, what can a good leader do to ensure that we're getting the right amount of work-life balance?
I think what a leader can do, there was once an interesting survey from Gallup, which kind of asked the question, what is worse than a negative manager? What can be worse than a manager who constantly give you negative feedback? You know what's worse? An absent manager, a manager that is not around. Yeah. So especially during this unique time and circumstances, the manager needs to be around. The manager needs to be able to give the team members that assurance that he is constantly there. Although maybe not physically around to watch over things, and I'm not talking about micromanaging. I'm talking about giving regular feedback. Giving regular feedback, regular recognition, catch up conversations. All of these are very important because the team members need to feel the presence of the manager, because an absent manager is worse than even a nagging and negative manager. So the managers have got to think of creative ways to make their presence felt, because the saying is true, people don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the manager shows care, the leader shows care by giving ongoing feedback and having ongoing check-in conversations, but to do it in a non-micromanaging way.
Right. I guess that's the struggle, right, to ensure that your employees are being seen and being heard during this time.
Out of, you know, like if you feel that I'm out of sight, out of mind kind of thing, right? It's like, okay, what am I doing here, right? And made worse because I really don't see you, right? So we talked about electronic presenteeism. Now, how prevalent, Joseph, do you think the notion of electronic presenteeism is here in Malaysia compared to other places around the world?
I think the electronic presenteeism phenomena is kind of correlated to the power distance indicators that are pretty strong here in Malaysia as well. When you have a team or an organization that is strong in the power distance correlation between supervisor and subordinate, then electronic presenteeism will become an issue, because electronic means become a way of keeping tab of people, and that is not productive. In fact, what should happen within a positive team culture is that it is not management by power distance, but management by trust, management by clear outcome. So the phenomena of electronic presenteeism is actually reflective of the management culture or the team leadership culture that is in place. If there is a culture whereby it is management by trust and management by outcome, then we won't have issue with electronic present, you know, theism in that sense, because the electronic means are just a tool, and the tool is and how the tool is used is reflective of the team culture.
Right. So long term, how does not having the right amount of work-life balance affect us, and what can we personally do to ensure that we get the correct amount?
The proverbial correct amount of work, it's a question that is not easily answered, because it requires a high level of self-awareness. Self-awareness in terms of your own strengths and in terms of your weaknesses. For example, do you have a strategy in place where you know how to focus on your strengths while managing your weaknesses? Because if you're unclear about your strengths, if you're unclear about your talent, then it's going to be very difficult for you to say no to any request that comes your way. I mean, considering that Asians have a high level of responsibility and work ethics, we just keep taking on and on more and more tasks and not knowing how to draw the boundaries. But how can we draw the boundaries unless we are clear about our own strengths and weaknesses? So in order to determine the correct amount of work, so to speak, you need to find out what is the overlap between my area of strengths and the key activities that I'm responsible for. The more overlap I can create between my job description and my talent description, then that would be the sweet spot. But unfortunately, most people are clear about their job description, but they don't know how to describe their own talent, or they don't know how to describe their own strengths. Mm. So unfortunately, their job ends up to becoming their life, and their life is their job, because they do not come from a place of self-awareness.
Right. Thank you for that, Joseph. That was Joseph Tan from Good Monday Consulting. Of course, we're asking you today about your work-life balance. Has it changed over the last few months? You know, now that we're back on CMCO, we're talking about this, of course, after a recent study by Kisi, a US-based security specialist, that ranked Kuala Lumpur 47th out of 50 major cities worldwide for qualities that make working and living easier. Has work-life balance changed for you over these last few months? Get in touch with us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram at BFM Radio is our handle. We have a poll happening on both those platforms, and we'll come back with the numbers from that poll and also a story about a new job designation that is mushrooming in the Silicon Valley, maybe even here in Malaysia in the next few months. Does your company need a director of remote work? All that and more happening on Enterprise BizBytes BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.